The basement is full of water. How did this happen? After an extensive evaluation it was determined the cement foundation their home rested on had suffered severe cracking. The years of wind and rain and snow caused the cracks to expand, resulting in water seeping into the basement. It happened slowly over time, going unnoticed, until the foundation was compromised to the point of disaster. As believers, we know our foundation is Jesus Christ. He is the author and finisher of our faith, Hebrews 12:2. He is our rock, 2 Samuel 22:2-3. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, the God of my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge, my Savior, you save me from violence. Like a cracked cement foundation, over time, and oftentimes going unnoticed until disaster hits, we can take our faith foundation for granted, allowing seeds of doubt to seep into our thinking and questioning the very author and finisher of our faith, our rock, Jesus Christ. In her book, 5 Habits of a Woman Who Doesn't Quit, Nikki Koziar shared a time she really questioned God. We were out of options. The day the sheriff's car pulled into our driveway, I knew what was coming. After a series of unfortunate events, things had gone from bad to worse to hopeless. Her friendly, official sheriff smile did nothing to relieve the emotional discomfort of this dreadful moment. The neighbors peeked through their blinds to see what was happening. As she handed me the papers, I took them with tears in my eyes. Looking at the baby in my arms and the toddler peeking out from behind me, this kind woman sheriff genuinely said, "I'm sorry." "Thank you," I whispered as I slowly closed the door. I sat down on the stairs and read through the official documents. Elaborate lawyer terms, forceful sounding laws I didn't understand, and words bolded in dark ink conveyed the dreadful news. You must vacate the premises within 30 days. Foreclosure. It was unwanted and unavoidable. It felt shameful and embarrassing. And the foreclosure of our first home was an aching process of letting go. The carefully painted mustard yellow walls, I would miss them so. How would I survive the daily afternoon playdates with my neighbor and her children? And what about all those hot dog dinners my husband and I ate to save the pennies to buy this sweet home? So much was about to be taken from us, just like that. I didn't understand why God would allow us to walk this humbling road. We had trusted him. Why hadn't he provided? Any hope I had left in God faded fast. No matter how much we don't want tragedies or painful experiences to define us, at times they do. Rejection, loss, cancer, divorce, death. If we're not thinking right, hard times can make us want to quit because we don't understand what God is doing. As many of you know, I love music. Even before I was saved, music was a very big part of my life. While in high school, I remember the first time I heard the song, "Is That All There Is?" Does anybody remember that? Oh boy. Good. I hated it. It was sad, dreary, and the words were just stupid. It's pretty ironic I still remember the chorus. Is that all there is? Is that all there is? If that's all there is, my friends, then let's keep dancing. Let's break out the booze and have a ball. If that's all there is. I later learned that the lyrics of this song were written from the point of view of a person who is disillusioned with events in life. Her family's house fire when she was a little girl. Seeing the circus, I'm sure that was hard for all of us. Falling in love for the first time. After each event, she expresses her disappointment in the experience. Instead of worrying about life, she suggests that we just break out the booze and have a ball, if that's all there is. No matter what your circumstances, there is a God in heaven who sees everything. He knows how unfair life has treated you, how wronged you felt by that one person, how broken you felt about that one situation, the tears you cried alone. It's easy in those hurting moments to think, if this is all there is, I'm done. I didn't sign up for this. I quit. You step back and draw lines of division in your heart. You cut yourself off from hearing the Word of God and spending time with the friends you once cherished. Uncertainty with God enters your thinking. Your badge is one of discouragement. Excuses provide a detour around God. You stop responding to emails, phone calls, and text messages. You pull back from being around other people who ask too many questions. It's too late becomes your excuse. I was ecstatic when I got saved 37 years ago. I was so thankful I didn't have to go to hell because I knew I was on my way. I was heaven bound. I was on fire to learn all I could about Jesus Christ. But I've also experienced periods of time when my fire for Christ seemed to be smoldering and almost out. During those times, I can honestly say that some of the following statements put together by Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth were true of me. Do any of these sound familiar? You can go hours or days without having more than a passing thought of Jesus Christ. You don't have a strong desire to spend time with Jesus Christ. You don't have a strong hunger for the Word. Bible reading is a chore, something to mark off your to-do list. Spending time in prayer is a burden or duty rather than a delight. Your worship is formal, dry, lifeless, merely going through the motions. Private prayer and worship are almost non-existent. You are more concerned about physical health, well-being, and comfort than about the well-being and condition of your soul. You crave physical food while having little appetite for spiritual food. You crave human companionship more than a relationship with Christ. You spend more time and effort on your physical appearance than on cultivating inner spiritual beauty to please Christ. Your heart toward Christ is cold and indifferent, not tender as it once was, not easily moved by the word or talk of spiritual things. Christianity is more of a checklist than a relationship with Christ. You measure your spirituality and others by performance rather than the condition of your heart. Christianity is defined more by what you do than who you are. Service is motivated and fueled by expectations of others or a desire to impress others more than by love for Christ. You are more concerned about what others think and pleasing them than about what God knows and pleasing Christ. Your service for Christ and others is motivated by a sense of duty or obligation. You find yourself becoming resentful over the hardships and demands of serving Christ and others. You can talk with others about kids, marriage, weather, news, but struggle to talk about the Lord and spiritual matters. You have a hard time coming up with something to share when someone asks, "What's God been doing in your life?" You are more interested in recreation, entertainment, and having fun than in cultivating intimacy with Christ through worship, prayer, the Word, and fellowship. You justify small areas of disobedience or compromise. Little things that used to disturb your conscience no longer do. You are not grieved by sin. It's no big deal to you. You are more concerned about having the right position than the right disposition. You rarely give sacrificially to the Lord's work. You have broken relationships with other believers that you are unwilling or have not attempted to reconcile. Thoughts like these, unchecked, can lead to cracks in your foundation of faith, allowing seeds of doubt to seep into your thinking. John wrote in Revelation 2:4, "Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love." Somewhere along the way, one of the most loving churches in the New Testament, the Church of Ephesus, lost that initial thrill of knowing Christ. Their love for each other and for God had grown cold. They left their first love. This can be true of us as well. We don't leave our first love intentionally. It starts when we allow self to penetrate our thinking and we start failing in the basics of our Christian life. We get our eyes off God and put them on ourselves. 2 Corinthians 1:9, "Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead." Pride and self-centeredness enter your thinking. Pride cannot see its own weakness and wrongdoing. Self-centeredness sees only its own desire. When pride and self-centeredness take root, self-dependence takes over. God's counsel in John 3:30, "He must increase, but I must decrease," is no longer in your thinking. Is that not what happened to Lucifer? He was close to God, but due to pride fell and took one-third of the angels with him. Isaiah 14:13-14, "For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." Pride took over, and Lucifer wanted to replace God. Some think they don't need God. They want to do things their way and have enough confidence they will make it without help from anyone, especially God. Independence is the key to life for them. They feel they can handle things themselves, so there's no need to ask God for help anymore. God is kept at a distance. Proverbs 14:6, "A wise man fears and departs from evil, but a fool rages and is self-confident." Some want to do things their way. They know God is bigger, higher, and wiser, and if they allow God to stay involved in their life, they may lose their grip or control. They will trade the wisdom and benefits of having God for their independence. They ignore the fact that God has the ultimate control of their life. They ignore that God has His purpose in their life, and they are responsible to fulfill God's purpose instead of theirs. Proverbs 12:15, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise." Some say they have had enough of God. They've tried God and are fed up with Him. Either God didn't do the things they wanted, or God didn't do the things the way they thought He should have. God did not meet their expectation. They are convinced that God has failed them. Proverbs 3:5-6. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths." We can fail to remember our first love when we neglect to spend time in God's Word. We fit Him in to our busy schedule. 2 Timothy 3:16-17, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." When we pursue God's Word as our daily wisdom, we're able to see His will for our lives. The Word of God convicts us when we are wrong and teaches us how to live right. In his devotional, Time Well Spent, Dr. James Merritt states, "God wants to spend time with you and me so badly He paid in order to get it. He sent Jesus to remove every barrier, tear down every wall, and unlock every door so we could have a personal relationship with Him. In fact, He gave us His Word so we could hear from Him constantly and consistently. God wants you to get to know Him better so you can love Him fully, hear Him clearly, and experience His guidance. This comes by spending time with Him in His Word. You simply cannot spend time with God, hear His Word, know Him better, love Him more, and be the same person." Why is it important to spend time with God every day? He will give us the exact instruction and comfort we need to handle all He sees coming our way. Meeting with Jesus daily helps prepare us to face life with much more peace. He knows and sees things we need to be prepared for. Psalm 139, 1 through 4. "O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it all together." As we spend time with God and His Word, our faith and trust in Him will grow. Fear is replaced by faith, and worry is replaced by worship. Spending quality time with God and consistently studying His Word grows our confidence in His power and His plans for our lives. We need to know God, know His character, know His promises, know His truth, and know His Word He has left for us to study. The more we make it a habit to apply God's Word in our lives, the more it becomes part of our nature. Psalm 34:8, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in Him." We can fail to remember our first love when our feelings become our truth and we lose hope. The hurts of life can pull our hearts away from the intimacy God desires with us. But God is personal and wants a relationship. Jeremiah 29:13, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. We live in a world that shouts we should follow our gut, our instinct, and especially our feelings. We're encouraged to do life based on how we feel. At times, moment by moment feelings convince us to forfeit our faithfulness. Instead of allowing the Word of God to be the driving force, we allow our thoughts, reactions, emotions, circumstances, and feelings dictate our response to situations. Strength weakens during hard times. Perspectives get skewed by emotions. The enemy, Satan, knows what pushes us to our limits. We need to take him very serious. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Satan hates obedience to God's will. He wants to distract, discourage, and convince us to go against God's word. Satan wants us to be more focused on him than on God. He wants us to feel alone and abandoned so he can plant the seed of doubt in our mind that God is not enough and can never meet all our needs. He wants to separate us from God's best plans, God's provision, and God's peace. He loves when a believer gets their needs satisfied apart from God. Satan would love for you and me to believe it's never going to be as we hoped. He wants us to give up on hopes, dreams, and plans God has for us. He wants us to quit. He may be the initiator of the quitting desire, but we have to own our part in allowing our feelings to control our thoughts and actions. Feelings should not be what fuels our faith. Romans 8:13, for if we live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. We have to accept the fact that sometimes things aren't going to turn out as we had hoped or planned. Even if we try with all our might, even if we plan and plan and plan, even if we have all the determination in the world. But remember, there is always hope when we stay with God. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Romans 15:4, for whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Hope is not a wish. It is confidence that our faith will give us the strength to get through every hard and trying circumstance. I love what Johnny Erickson Tada's definition of faith is. Faith is not the ability to believe long and far into the misty future. It's simply taking God at His word and taking the next step. We can fail to remember our first love when we become mechanical in our Christian life. We deceive ourselves by believing once we have completed our self-perceived Christian checklist, praying, reading the Bible, doing a Bible study, going to church, being nice, man, we're all set. If we obey God and His word solely out of duty, It's just a matter of time till we will give up. It is only when our desire to serve the Lord out of love and thankfulness that our relationship will endure the strains of life. Satan would love nothing more than to keep us separated from the power God gives us during our time with Him. Jesus wants a willing heart to come to Him. We need to evaluate our thinking and our motives and remember the Savior who chose to suffer a death like any other to secure our eternal destiny from one of eternal torment to one of eternal glory. Psalm 86:11 through 12, teach me your way, O Lord. I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. I will praise you, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify your name forevermore. Fulfillment means to be completely satisfied. True fulfillment is never found in seeking to do enough, be enough, have enough, know enough, or accomplish enough. We hope if we do it long enough, we'll be fulfilled. Enough is always slightly out of reach. Colossians 3:1-2, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. We can fail to remember our first love when we take our prayer life for granted. Prayers are a barometer of our Christian life. Do you go to the Lord in prayer for the details of life or as a last resort when things are out of control? Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my shape to keep. Please no wrinkles, please no bags, and please lift my butt before it sags. Please no age spots, please no gray, and as for my belly, please take it away. Please keep me healthy, please keep me young, and thank you, dear Lord, for all that you've done. How about this one? Dear God, my prayer for 2017 is for a fat bank account and a thin body. Please don't mix these up like you did last year. Amen. And the year before, and the year before, and the year before. When a great need sets in, we usually heed what the Bible says and pray without ceasing. For me, answered prayer has been a tremendous motivator to pray, pray, and pray some more. A number of years ago, my husband and I started a prayer journal, documenting our prayer petitions, noting the date of each prayer, and how the Lord answered. Wanting to encourage a dear friend, I went back through our prayer journal and made a list of some of her prayer requests and answers. When I asked her if I could share this, her comment was, "This is my story. If it can encourage someone else, I want to share it." We prayed for a summer job. 3 months later, she got a job in an emergency room. Prayed for wisdom dealing with a spiritually detrimental relationship. 4 days later, she came to a decision to end any correspondence with this individual. Prayed about having dinner with her to get to know her better. 2 days later, we had dinner. Wonderful time. Prayed for pain relief, that her fever would break, her lungs would clear up, the antibiotics would work. That week, antibiotics worked, lungs cleared up, but she was unable to work. Prayed for her to get a doctor's appointment and to get answers as to what was wrong. 2 days later, she was notified she had an appointment at Mayo towards the end of summer. Prayed for an earlier appointment at Mayo. She was notified of a new appointment date of July 20th, 2015. This was less than a month away, which is unheard of for Mayo. In the hospital, prayed for a diagnosis and answers to her health problems. Prayed for her family camping trip. They had a great time. Pray for a job and living arrangement for summer, for optimism, encouragement. 7 months later, she had to stay home for summer, waiting on health issues. Prayed for her appointment with the endocrinologist. Prayed for the heart monitor test. Clear indication of issues needed. She got second appointment at Mayo in January 2016. Prayed for a clear brain to take exams and no fogginess. Exams went well, very little fogginess. Prayed for next round of exams. Went well. She had a clear head. Prayed she would make it till her Mayo appointment and would be able to rest. She made it. Prayed for upcoming an appointment at Mayo. Saw all doctors except the rheumatologist. Prayed for her starting a new medication. Prayed for no side effects. Did have fatigue. Prayed for job she applied for. Had to pull her application due to the need to address health issues. Prayed for her final music recital. Was fantastic. Prayed for her doctor appointment. Went well. Prayed for school presentation. Went great. Prayed for her final exams. Got it done. Prayed for a special friend to talk with. The next day, this prayer was answered. And it wasn't a guy. Prayed upcoming medical tests would provide answers. Prayed for her trip to Florida with family, that there would be no contact with the dysfunctional individual. She had a great trip, no contact with the individual, but did get bronchitis. 1 year after initial prayer, diagnosis was confirmed. Carcinoid syndrome. Prayed for Mayo appointment as soon as possible. Prayed about seeing a specialist in Iowa. Appointment with Mayo scheduled within 3 weeks. Continued to pray about Iowa. 1.5 months later, she had her appointment with the Iowa doctor. Got answers and a treatment plan. Prayed for safety traveling and taking MCAT test. Safe trip. Test went well. Wasn't praying about this, but met someone special. Jake from Forest Lake. That's what I call him. And I'm still praying for them. Prayed for her vacation to remain healthy and have safety driving. She had a great time and lots of rest. Prayed for our upcoming visit. Fantastic time. Prayed for upcoming job interview that she would hear from the company she previously interviewed with. Both prayers answered. Got job she was praying about. Prayed for her to get settled in her new apartment, new job, church, balancing life, endurance, taking care of health, still praying. 2 more hospital stays, prayed for health. Praying for FDA approval of a test to locate carcinoid tumors and a medication adjustment, still praying. However, this last weekend I was with her, and this is the update. Test was approved. And she had a scan in February 2017. Results were helpful information, but did not yield all the answers they had hoped for. Prayed for upcoming gallbladder surgery. Surgery went well. Carcinoid episode after. Praying for treatment to push cancer into remission. For her emotional health of feeling alone. For hope and optimism. The cancer markers are down. Treatment is having a positive effect. And she was very encouraged by her prayer list. After receiving her answered prayer list, she called me to share how encouraged she was, looking back at all the prayers the Lord had answered. It was a tremendous reminder to both of us. Jeremiah 29:12. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. God is listening. Prayer is our direct line to God, and we can call anytime. Hello, God. I called tonight to talk a little while. I need a friend who will listen to my anxiety and trial. You see, I can't quite make it through a day just on my own. I need your love to guide me, so I'll never feel alone. I want to ask you please to keep my family faith safe and sound. Fill their lives with confidence for whatever faith they're bound. Give me faith, dear God, to face each hour throughout the day and not to worry over things I can't change in any way. I thank you, God, for being home and listening to my call, for giving me such good advice when I stumble and I fall. Your number, God, is the only one that answers every time. I never get a busy signal, never had to pay a dime. So thank you, God, for listening to my troubles and my sorrow. Good night, God. I love you too, and I'll call again tomorrow. We can fail to remember our first love when we experience discouragement. Many of us find ourselves discouraged. Sometimes this discouragement is brought on by our own decisions. Other times, life just seems to dump on us. Following God does not mean everything will fall into place perfectly. The Bible doesn't tell us staying with God will allow things to turn out like we think they should. However, it does say no matter what we go through, there is nothing but unending grace from God. John 1:16, and of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. In Romans 8:18, Paul gives us a word of wisdom and comfort about walking through hard times. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. While it may seem our present circumstances are unfair and wrong, there's a perspective of coming glory. If we quit, we miss the opportunity to see God work in and through a difficult situation. Desperate situations can either lead us to a greater dependence on God, or they can cause us to detour away from God. Sometimes when we are walking through times of discouragement, it's hard to see what we still have. It seems like so much is gone, and we just can't find hope ahead. At these times, it's important to remember the promises God has left for us. Psalm 34:18, the Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit. Or 2 Corinthians 4:17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. God wants us to take our difficulties and teach us to depend on His comfort and His provision. He just doesn't warn us of potential problems ahead. He included promises to stand on in the midst of them. God will be with us. We will not be overtaken. We will not be utterly consumed. Hard situations are a great place to see things in us that need to be changed. We often discount what God is doing because we are determined to go our own way. Desperate situations will either lead us to a greater dependence on God, or they can bring fear and anxiety, resulting in greater uncertainty. Will we allow the afflictions of life to transform us or cause us to turn from God? We will always have the choice to do things our way or God's way. We can fail to remember our first love when we harbor bitterness. Life is filled with unfair cards. Disappointments can be the launching pad for feelings of bitterness. When we feel we've been treated unfairly, bitter roots can take hold. Unresolved bitterness eventually will show itself, sometimes tearing apart our relationships with those closest to us. We need to take our bitterness to the Lord. He knows, He hears, He sees. He doesn't want bitterness to ruin our lives. Ephesians 4:31, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. We can fail to remember our first love when we try to figure out why. Why did this happen? Why didn't you stop this, God? Why weren't my prayers answered? Asking why is perfectly normal. However, if asking why pushes us further from God rather than drawing us closer to Him, it is the wrong question. Our hope lies not in understanding the whys or in understanding all of God's purposes, but in God Himself. There is a purpose in our pain and hard, and though it may remain a mystery, God is in charge. God is trustworthy. John 16:33, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Replace your why questions with truths from God's word. A daughter is telling her mother how everything is going wrong. She's failing algebra. Her boyfriend broke up with her, and her best friend is moving away. Meanwhile, her mother is baking a cake and asks her daughter if she'd like a snack. The daughter says, "Absolutely, Mom, I love your cake. Here, have some cooking oil," her mother offers. "Yuck," says the daughter. "How about a couple raw eggs?" "Gross, Mom." "Would you like some flour then, or maybe baking soda?" "Mom, those are all yucky." To which the mother replies, "Yes, all those things seem bad all by themselves, but when they are put together in the right way, they make a wonderfully delicious cake." God works the same way. Many times we wonder why He would let us go through bad and difficult times. But God knows that when He puts these things all in His order, they will always work for good. We just need to trust Him, and eventually, they will all make something wonderful. What a great reminder of Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for good. When some friends asked me what I was speaking on, I explained what the Lord had put on my heart about quitting, giving up on God. Then I asked the million-dollar question, "Have you ever thought about it?" Responses were almost immediate. One friend shared, "I hit rock bottom. I was young, and I felt like my dreams were gone. I couldn't face the limitations the injury placed on me. Why had God given me the gifts He did, only to take them away? He deserted me. It took time for me to believe I could have different dreams. The Lord gave me an opportunity to encourage someone else. God can still use me. I didn't feel like such a failure. He wants a relationship with me. His faithfulness was clear to me. You can't go by what you feel or you'll be discouraged and joyless. Trust when you can't see." Psalm 73:26, "My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion." 2 Corinthians 12:9-10, "And He said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." These two verses became very precious to her, and she still holds on to them tightly to this day. Another friend shared, "Twice. Twice the Lord and I had quite a discussion. Better described as an argument. First time was the diagnosis of an illness for one of my children. 'What are you doing, Lord?' But I went right to the attributes of God, starting with His sovereignty. Second time, I was driving home from the church picnic and the weight of life came over me. 47, divorced, alone, should be looking at retirement. Lord, why? I prayed about everything and got nothing. I have to believe you love me. You have my best in mind. I went to God's attributes again. He's in control, so he's allowing this. He still loves me. I said out loud, Lord, this stinks, but I want to honor you. Let's bring glory to you. I knew if I was to be alone the rest of my life, I could be alone with the Lord. I believed he's looking out for my best. Romans 8:28 through 29 were verses she clung to tightly. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. John Thomas Simmix shared the following classroom experience. I changed the name of the boy in the story for obvious reasons. Barry was the resident cowboy of my kindergarten class, coming to school each day dressed in chaps, a vest, and a cowboy hat. One morning, he told me his mother was having a baby. I'm going to teach my little brother all the things every cowboy should know, like how to ride a horse and rope a steer, he said. But I cautioned, what if your mother gives you a baby sister? Barry had never considered this, and the possibility floored him. He gazed out the window for a moment before saying without resignation, then I'm heading west. Thank you, Barb. Ladies, which direction are you heading in your Christian life? Has self taken over your thinking, resulting in pride, self-centeredness, and self-dependence? Has independence replaced dependence on God? Have you been neglecting to spend time in God's Word and praying? Have you allowed your feelings to become your truth, losing hope, feeling God has failed you? Has your Christian life become a daily to-do list? Are you discouraged and bitter? Are you struggling with the question why? Are you heading west towards quitting? It's time to remember. Remember God's love. God's love is continuing and long-lasting. His love died for you and me while we were sinners. His love grants us mercy when we stray from his ways. His love overcomes our fears and doubts. His love never leaves us nor forsakes us. His love makes a place for us to spend eternity with him. How can he love like that? Because he is God, and only God is capable of such love. Nothing we do will make him love us more or love us less. Zephaniah 3:17, the Lord your God in your midst, the mighty one, will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. Remember your first love, Jesus Christ. Remember how it was in the beginning when you were first saved. The excitement, the happiness, the thankfulness, the joy. Psalm 16:11, you will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. When we seek Jesus Christ and put him first, we find true contentment right where we are. The Christian life is not following a program, but pursuing a person, Jesus Christ. Faith needs time and effort to grow, and so do relationships. Like the seed in one of Jesus' parables, a plant with no roots eventually withers and dies. So will our relationship with Jesus when we get too busy, too preoccupied, too involved pursuing people who never think about God. Neil A. Maxwell says it well. Each of us is an innkeeper who decides if there is room for Jesus. I saw this quote on Facebook, you know, that place where all truth is. This is a good one, though. I know that God is always good, but I don't always believe God is always good to me. We can lose our health, our relationships, but no matter what we lose or what is taken from us, Christ can fill the void with something far greater, Himself. Because we are so naturally different from God, we need to spend time learning His thoughts and His ways. We have to allow Him and His Word to penetrate our thinking. Our thoughts become the words we speak. The words we speak become the actions we take, and the actions we take determine our steps. But God is not a puppet master controlling our every move. The decision to stay with Him through our thoughts, words, and actions will always be ours. Remember, God is working behind the scenes in ways we don't know about. He is preparing the way in your life for His plans to prevail. Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the thoughts I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." It takes time and prayer. Even when you love God and believe in His promises, it takes making the decision to stop asking for answers and start asking for perspective. Remember, His ways are different than ours. Isaiah 55:8-9, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Remember, God will meet us right where we're at. God didn't keep Daniel from the lion's den. He met him in it. God didn't keep Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from the fiery furnace. He joined them in it. God didn't keep Joseph from being a slave to Potiphar. He gave him favor in it. We can be assured that in the midst of our difficulties, God's there for us as well. We waste a lot of time convincing ourselves of what we can't do. But God's Word spends a lot of time telling us, with Him, we can not only do a lot of things, we can do all things. Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." When you experience those times of doubt and your fire for Jesus Christ is smoldering, remember God yearns for you to leave the dead end road you're on and come back to Him. He knows the price you paid for leaving Him out of your life and going your own way. Isaiah 55:7, "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and He will have mercy on him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon." When you shut God out of your life, you miss God's blessings, the chance for God to use you, and the ability for God to expand your faith and trust in Him. God doesn't meet us at perfection. He meets us right where we're at. Psalm 55:22, "Cast your burden on the Lord, and He shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved." Remember, with God, we can do hard things. Isaiah 40:29, "He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, He increases strength." With God, we can do impossible things. Matthew 19:26, "But Jesus looked at them and said to them, 'With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible.'" Remember, our sufficiency comes from God, not ourselves. 2 Corinthians 3:5, Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God. Remember to stay open to God's leading. Problem is, we want to hold on to our plans. We have things in mind for our future, but so does God. Proverbs 19:21, there are many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel, that will stand. Remember the places God has brought you through, the prayers He's answered, the needs He's met. Someone unknown wrote, "The deepest level of worship is praising God in spite of the pain, thanking God during the trials, trusting Him when we're tempted to lose hope, and loving Him when He seems so distant and far away. At my lowest, God is my hope. At my darkest, God is my light. At my weakest, God is my strength. At my saddest, God is my comforter." He is the first and the last, the beginning and the end. He is the keeper of creation and the creator of all. He is the architect of the universe and the manager of all times. He always was, He always is, and He always will be. Unmoved, unchanged, undefeated, and never undone. He was bruised and brought healing. He was pierced and eased pain. He was persecuted and brought freedom. He was dead and brought life. He is risen and brings power. He reigns and brings peace. The world can't understand Him. The armies can't defeat Him. The schools can't explain Him. And the leaders can't ignore Him. Herod couldn't kill Him. The Pharisees couldn't refuse Him. And the people couldn't hold Him. Nero couldn't crush Him. Hitler couldn't silence Him. The New Age can't replace Him. And Donahue can't explain Him away. He is light, love, longevity, and Lord. He is goodness, kindness, gentleness, and God. He is holy, righteous, mighty, powerful, and pure. His ways are right. His word is eternal. His will is unchanging, and His mind is on me. He is my Redeemer. He is my Savior. He is my guide, and He is my peace. He is my joy. He is my comfort. He is my Lord, and He is my life. I serve Him because His bond is love, His burden is light, and His goal for me is abundant life. I follow Him because He is the wisdom of the wise, the power of the powerful, the Ancient of Days, the ruler of rulers, the leader of leaders, the overseer of the overcomers, and the sovereign Lord of all that was and is to come. His goal is a relationship with me. He will never leave me, never forsake me, never mislead me, never forget me, never overlook me, and never cancel my appointment in His appointment book. When I fall, He lifts me up. When I fail, He forgives. When I am weak, He is strong. When I am lost, He is the way. When I am afraid, He is my courage. When I stumble, He steadies me. When I am hurt, He heals me. When I am broken, He mends me. When I am blind, He leads me. When I am hungry, He feeds me. When I face trials, He is with me. When I face persecution, He shields me. When I face problems, He comforts me. When I face loss, He provides for me. When I face death, He carries me home. He is everything for everybody, everywhere, every time, and every way. He is God. He is faithful. I am His, and He is mine. My Father in heaven can whip the father of this world. So if you're wondering why I feel so secure, understand this. He said it, and that settles it. God is in control. I am on His side, and that means it is well with my soul. Every day is a blessing, for God is. We pursue what we value. Where does Jesus Christ fit in your life? It is impossible to get from the world or people the things that you can only receive from God through Jesus Christ. When you find yourself wanting to quit, switch your heart from quitting to trusting our all-powerful God. Remember your first love, Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith, our rock, and don't quit. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this time together. Pray that we would reflect and evaluate, be encouraged and challenged by this message, Lord. Thank you for all the support and help that you even gave for me putting it together. And we just, again, pray for a great time of fellowship. And if anyone here is not saved, Lord, I pray that they would see the Almighty God, Jesus Christ, died for all of us, for the sins of the world. And by faith alone, in Him alone, we can have eternal life. And we will have all eternity to thank you, our all-powerful God. In Jesus' name, amen.